Hey, and welcome to today's episode of Daily Musings. This episode is going to be a recording of something I wrote the other week when I was in the throes of the dream of the 90s. And I'll get to what that's all about in just a moment when I read it. Sometimes I'm going to be experimenting with the format here. So I do like recording videos and podcasts off the cuff, but I also want to explore reading something that I've already written and just seeing how that goes. It ends up probably having an entirely different character and flow, which I think will be appropriate to the subject matter. So let's get started. The dream of the 90s, I sincerely doubt it's still alive in Portland. These last few days, I've been staying out late, visiting with friends and family, downtown shenanigans, sleeping in until gasp 9 a.m., I've been actively avoiding anything with a whiff of responsibility, including my paid work and unpaid work, like parenting, university. Don't worry, my kid's in good hands. To wake up at 8:33 a.m. and to spend 30 minutes on my phone, to roll over and then manifest some coffee in the French press, and to read a couple of chapters of a book I've been delighted by, a book which is adding fuel to this dream of the 90s. The book is called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. Without keeping track of my time, without having a to-do list, is difficult. Physically, it's very easy. Laziness is very easy, but it is psychologically difficult. But all of the things, they keep piling up. Oh no. This is a very deliberate sort of procrastination. Sure, someone might be unhappy if I don't check my email for a few days. Sure, I might be a sliver more crunched to turn in my final Canadian history assignment. Sure, I might not finish that grade 2 curriculum on the timeline I had originally intended. But also, life. Pure enjoyment with no purpose. Seeing an old friend who lives far away is not a box to be checked. Being able to see where the evening leads with no feeling of urgency. I write so much about productivity that I feel the point has been missed. Most certainly by me at times. Maybe I come off like this human who's doing all of the things at all of the times, trying to fashion myself into a machine that is all about getting things done, that getting things done is the ultimate aim. People will comment to me how they assume I'm super busy all of the time. It's partially true, and I fall victim to the busyness trap just like everyone else. But the point I don't do a very good job of getting across is that it's not about doing the things, checking the boxes, flying through tasks. The point is immersion in the moment, full focus. If I have to make the best use of my time working, then I must be fully immersed. And this flow state is delightful, but to make the best use of my time is a misleading statement because it perpetuates the grind-like attitude of productivity. It is not about optimizing every moment, merely that I enjoy my time immensely if I'm engaged and immersed in what I'm doing, whether it's a conversation, a piano practice session, designing a course, bedtime stories with my child. I want to show up and be there without being distracted, without my mind wandering to all of the other undone things. But you know, the biggest thing about this whole productivity game, the reason I'm so driven to be fully focused in whatever activity I'm doing, yeah, okay, enjoyment is a top factor. What is life if not something to be enjoyed? But it's also a way to opt out of a workaholic life. It does seem counterintuitive. You'd think someone writing about productivity works all the time, but I really, really don't. And the stupid thing is I'm ashamed to admit that, as if I'll lose macho points, I'll be thought of as less than, I'll be thought of as lazy. Because anyone who isn't working for money for 40 hours a week is lazy, right? This is the way I think about it. The truth, right here, the truth that I never want to admit, is that I have virtually never worked 40 hours a week. For money, save for some rare little pockets. One time I worked at a popcorn and hot dog cart in the summer, and that was 8 to 4, Monday to Friday. I would not have tolerated such a demand on my time had it not been for the fact that my coworker and I would spend our days listening to the blues all morning and afternoon, hanging out in the summer sun, enjoying iced coffees and bubble tea and veggie dogs with all the fixins. I really like pepperoncini. The other time I worked 40 hours a week was during a cooking internship to finish my culinary school training. After the internship, I stayed on a few months longer as a catering chef until I just snapped and quit. The hours were too long, the work was too mind-numbing, And I didn't have a backup plan. That was a problem. I lived in Toronto and was barely affording rent in the first place. I can hear my mother now saying, suck it up, buttercup. But I didn't suck it up. I went out and got some piano students instead, earned better money, was my own boss, and only worked 20 hours a week. I was so much happier. Culinary school was a full-time affair. So is university, which I'm doing right now. I've had moments with my business, Piano TV, where I've pulled 12-hour days multiple days in a row, but it's rare and always compartmentalized to particularly busy times, such as when a course opens. In that case, it tends to be quite fun. It can even be exhilarating, especially because I know it'll come to an end, and the balance of life, whatever that may be, will return. So the truth that I'm admitting to you is that in my pretty much entire adulthood, a span of nearly 18 years, I perhaps spent about 1/10 of that time working full-time. I remember working as a waitress for less than 20 hours a week, enjoying long hangouts with my friends and spending a ton of time writing words and writing music. My basement suite had crickets, but that was an acceptable trade-off. I was content to earn below the poverty line for years because it meant that I had something much more precious than money. I had time. And it wasn't productive time. Back then, I wasn't building a business. I was just hanging out. As a little subtext to what I'm writing here, there's a big difference in the affordability of when I was a barely adult compared to the affordability now. Of course, there is magic in just hanging out. I would never want to exploit the sacredness of hanging out by suggesting it has a greater, more productive purpose, thus robbing it of its magic. But it did work that way for me. Other people were doing the life stuff, university, mortgages, families, full-time jobs. If I had 20 more hours than my average peer each week, how does that not accumulate over the span of 18 years? This unproductive time, time not spent earning, but rather just living, hanging out. What does that amount to? I don't have an answer, only a suspicion that it simply just amounts to a life. The kind of life I want to live, the kind of life people look forward to at retirement. Why is it such a shameful way to live at age 20? Why is having free time considering a squandering of potential? I also suspect that having time means having time to stop and think. It adds another degree of separation between myself and the machine, the story we all buy into, whatever the narrative of the moment is. Instead of being in the river all of the time and subject to all of the river's whims, there is time to sit on the river's edge and watch it weave and bend. But this all sounds rather pretentious. Look at me. I have time to stop and think, and therefore I have all the answers, and I'm so smart. But is that really the alternative narrative? Either you're a hardworking member of society or you're a lazy know-it-all. I imagine telling my friends in confidence, I think the dream of the 90s is actually alive in this city. I imagine them laughing, listing off the reason this city sucks. But people in Seattle in 1989 thought it sucked too. And it's only in the looking back that we think, huh, must have been something special there. Maybe there is something special here where I am. At the local coffee shop, I just went for a refill of my coffee and the friendly owner refused to let me pay. So I put my cash in the tip jar and we chatted briefly about Star Wars. This morning, I've been doing some leisurely reading and writing, just enjoying time off. Friends are chatting in the booth beside me. It's not busy here, but it's not empty either. People seem to be in a good mood. The sun is shining. It'll get past 30 degrees today. I could leave my laptop and go to the bathroom with no fear of it getting stolen. It took me 5 minutes to get to this place from my home. The other night, downtown, it was weird and bumping. I saw punk kids cheerfully trash talk some cops who rolled their eyes before heading in for a drink. Just characters everywhere, people talking to strangers. Could you still sleep till 11 here? And here's where I have to add another asterisk, a side note that I did not mention in the blog post. The dream of the 90s is based on a really ridiculous, silly song by Portlandia, or it's from the show. The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. And they sing about sleep till 11, you'll be in heaven. Anyways, that's maybe some missing context. Could you still sleep till 11 here in the city and work a few hours at a coffee shop and just enjoy your life? You'd have a better shot here than in a big city. Hustle is mandatory in a big city, unless you're wealthy and or have highly in-demand skills. But is hustle mandatory here? You can still rent for less than $1,000 per month if you lower your standards, which I've done in my past. I remember back when I lived in my cricket suite, back when I was about 20, I think I paid $400 a month for rent. So it really was possible to get by just fine. You can still buy a house here for less than $200,000 if you don't mind something old and small. Maybe it's not in the best neighborhood, but you'll probably be okay. The income inequality here is not nearly so steep. And it's not entirely backwater either. It's a city, and there's a mix of small town, big city dynamics at play. I'm not sacrificing tolerance by living here. I'm not losing rights that I might not have in a small town. And there is diversity. Now, I'm lucky that I figured out a way to work part-time hours and earn a decent living doing so. I don't need anything else. And if it came down to it, I think I shouldn't sound too confident. But if the choice was between a high-paying grind and part-time work with a basement suite, it would be the same choice each time. Fortunately, it's not always a trade-off, right? There might be another way. I would not trade this Saturday morning of nothingness for anything. The dream of the 90s got to keep it alive. And just as a quick postscript before I wrap things up, I was really thinking when I wrote this a lot about the financial aspect of quote-unquote laziness, of just hanging out, of not running around trying to be super productive all the time. And it just occurring to me that these big cities that we're sold on, the best places in the world to live, like basically any big city you can think of right now in North America, I'm not sure how it is in Europe, but Vancouver is one of the most expensive cities in the world right now. Toronto, if I wanted to rent, I'd be looking at probably about $2,000 a month for something that's a significant down step from what I have right now. New York, of course, is wildly unaffordable. And just thinking how this dream of the 90s, how difficult it would be to embrace in a really major center at this moment in time, because you would have to hustle. You would have to make sure you're not going broke and that you're able to pay rent. And even in my most financially stressed times, when I was making very little money, I still had enough to feed myself and to pay rent. I have really good credit. I've never had any issues with that. I remember even saving up for a vacation. I went to Victoria. I went down the West Coast, all on a really small budget. It was totally possible in a way that I don't think it would be anymore now. I think it's a lot harder for people now. I think it's a lot harder for young people now, just fresh out of high school. I mean, the fact that I could move out of my parents' house immediately after high school without looking back is something that I think a lot of kids these days don't have the opportunity to do. And there's something incredibly precious about not having to buy into the system right away, right off the bat. Because then it seems like you would just become even more entrenched in it. It would be even harder to unstick yourself from it. There's so much more to life than just working all the time. That's all for now. I'll talk to you guys in the next one.